From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're going all the way out to Washington, D.C. to Mike Howell, our friend with Heritage Foundation. He's a senior advisor for government relations. Mike, how are you today?
Hey, doing well. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, you're always a blessing to us, and I know that most of our listeners, Mike, are know how important these midterms elections are coming up in November, and I know that you're going to provide us with a lot of information. And Heritage.org is a fantastic resource for anyone that is interested in preparing for the election. Knowing what, even if you're not a conservative, it's a good place to go because you should at least understand what conservatives are saying and not necessarily listening to media rhetoric. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I couldn't be in agreement more. So basically what the Heritage Foundation is the nation's largest conservative think tank. And what that means is we basically went out and got who we think are the best experts in a variety of policy areas, domestic and foreign, everything under the sun, and have some of these really intelligent people with conservative values write in detail about the policy issues of the day and, you know, things that they're tracking long term. So the whole point is that if we're going to have a democracy with strong civic participation, folks need to, you know, be engaged and be willing to learn about the issues. And that's what we're trying to help with is just pump out as much research, well-written, easy to digest, that'll get you up to speed. And I think if you make a habit out of checking us out and reading, you're not going to lose a lot of arguments, especially with some of your liberal friends. So I encourage you to check us out at heritage.org or just follow us on Twitter at Heritage.
Your website says free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom, traditional American values, and a strong national defense are the values that you fight for every single day. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you today to give us an update in each one of those areas. What is the state of free enterprise in America?
Well, it's not good. I'll tell you that. Basically, the state of affairs is there's one political party in this country and a movement of the left that has really been ascendant in recent decades that views basically the government as being the chief participant in economic affairs and the way people relate to each other. And so by using the power of government, which of course includes taxation, the ability to borrow money, the ability to coerce individuals and behaviors, they're able to have an outsized role in our economy. And we're seeing this really play out with a lot of the spending bills and initiatives that are coming out of this Congress and supported by this White House. You know, the left has unified control of all those things. And so what you're seeing is billions and trillions of dollars of government spending, and it all has strings attached. It goes to preferred, you know, industries and sectors. Now, one of the biggest places that this is evident is in our energy policy. The left is of the belief that this world is going to, you know, come to an end. They're really apocalyptic in their thinking that the climate policies must be changed for them to, frankly, save the world. And so what you're seeing is a religiously held belief that oil and gas is evil and bad. And so that's why you're seeing gas prices where they are at now. This is all purposeful. It's to get gas prices to such a place where people drive less. They think that magic number is somewhere around $7 a gallon. And only by driving up the prices of energy can they lower the use of it. Now, this doesn't even work out in practice because what we're seeing now is the United States is begging foreign countries for oil. And this that even if you accept the belief that we need to stop consuming oil to save the earth, it doesn't make a difference whether that's produced in the United States or in Saudi Arabia. So what we're getting is the worst of both ends of the stick. We're cratering our own, you know, domestic energy supplies and by extension, the employment prospects of a lot of people in this country. And then also having everyone in the midst of hyper, you know, inflation spending outrageous sums just to get around with a tank of gas.
Mike, I guess I'm confused by a lot of things I read in the media. Never really know what's true, and so I'd like to run it by you, if you don't mind. I heard that we're even exporting oil from the United States to China right now. Can we trust the world economy with players like China involved?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, the world economy is one thing, but we've also given significant control over our own economy to China. Look no further than during the early stages of COVID, when we weren't even making enough masks in the United States or didn't have access to some of these important supply chain components for medicines and such. We discovered as a nation, you know, a rude awakening that we don't make enough stuff in the United States to really be self-sufficient. And that's because of the rise of you know, multinational corporations and the lowering of trade restrictions in the U.S. and opening our markets to China. They've been able to make a lot of headwinds. And they're making the stuff over there in China because it's cheaper to do it, and we don't make anything here. We've shifted more to a services economy, meaning that people by and large are working more with, I guess, their brains and at keyboards than they are in, you know, the production of very important things. And so in this global economy, we are at a disadvantage in some places. This is also really evident in computer chips. We see that a lot of cars, you know, that are, if you try to buy a new car, which my wife and I tried doing a few weeks ago, you'll not only see that the prices are through the roof, but the inventory is low because they can't even get computer chips for these things. And so these are complicated questions that policymakers are grasping with, is what is the right, you know, mixture of public policy to make sure we don't find ourselves in a position where China can just turn off, you know, access to certain things and crater, you know, the way we're used to living in the United States.
So, Mike, we started by talking about voters and how they can prepare to vote, going to heritage.org, and you are a conservative think tank and put out all kinds of public policy ideas. You evaluate public policy that is in place. So I guess I take everything you just said and I say, why are we depending on food imports to take care of Americans, like baby formula and wheat and meat?
Right. The answer is, frankly, because there is a profit motive for those those industries to have these things be produced overseas, because the regulatory environment in the United States is such that it's cost prohibitive in some areas to actually make these things, when you can just have a factory with no, you know, health and safety standards over in China, where people are willing to work for, you know, subsistence wages. And so if you're a multinational corporation whose interest is solely the bottom line and not of the, you know, American public, often those decisions are going to, you know, side on, you know, the bottom line itself. And so over decades, we have seen a just massive amount of these production centers being moved out of the country, because if you're owner of a major international corporation, your interest is making cash. It's not making sure the United States is, you know, secure and not dependent on foreign countries.
Mike, I know we could beat to death that one subject about talking about free enterprise, but your next thing that you're concerned about in your statement on your website is limited government. Who is growing and why do you want limited government?
Right. So we are big proponents of limited government, as is, I think, any branch of conservatism out there. And it stems from the belief that, you know, our natural rights are best protected when there is a government that is accountable to the people, with decision making in all instances possible reserved to those people and those closest to them. So you and I live in different parts of the country. You're way out west there and I'm here in D.C. I don't think that in our own communities we necessarily would arrive at the same decisions 10 out of 10 times. And that's all well and good. I mean, frankly, I'd probably prefer the decisions you all come up with than the ones being made out in D.C. But it suffices to reason that if that's the case, we should not have a federal government making the same decisions for everybody. People understand their problems that are closest to them, not from the other side of the country. Look at how California governs itself. That's the people in Texas certainly wouldn't want to live that way. And so we live in a big country. Geographically, it's diverse in all sorts of different ways. Of course, not just racial diversity, which is the only one, you know, the left likes to talk about. And so limited government preserves the ability for people to live you know, in a society and still have respect for each other's ways of life. And so that's what we fight for. We also think that's how you get the best policy. You create a competitive environment where, hey, maybe we'll see how you're doing out there and you know, stayed in the West, and we'll be here saying, hey, that's a good idea. Maybe we should, you know, enact that policy. So that competitive environment, those laboratories of democracy are really what makes this country great and is the special sauce in America that has separated us from the rest of the country, is preserving our freedom, getting government out of the way when we can, and having this kind of ability to live in different places of the country with, you know, rules that are best suited to those who live there.
Mike, I know that the media in particular is saying today that conservatives are restricting individual freedoms, but I think you feel like the left is the one restricting our individual freedoms. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think that's an insincere argument when it's being made by the left. It's a cheap talking point that is totally political in nature. I'm hard-pressed to find a single example of a policy area where the left comes down on a side of more freedom than the right. Especially when we look at, you know, the recent Supreme Court decision and the Dobbs case, which overturned Roe v. Wade. The case did something simple. It said that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided because it's not the Supreme Court who has that authority. It's the people in the states and their elected legislators. And so it is really a pro-democracy ruling that people can decide in their own communities and states how to handle this really contentious issue. Obviously, I feel very strongly on the side of every human life needs to be protected from conception onwards. And so that's how I would advocate for where I live. But the Supreme Court decided, no, we're not going to make a rule, blanket rule for the entire country. States and people can go out and participate in their democracies to come up with these solutions. And so that's an example of the right being very principled on the side of freedom. It could have been the case that the Supreme Court said, you know what, we're going to ban it nationwide and we're going to decide. That's not what happened at the Supreme Court. They said, no, we have different views on this issue than you do, but we're going to let the people decide because that's the way the Constitution was set up.
Well, and I've heard some people recently, in fact, I was kind of surprised with some of the local television stations in Albuquerque, which broadcast throughout the state of New Mexico, on this life issue. Many of them have said all that getting rid of Roe v. Wade did or overturning it has done is give the people the vote and the right to decide what they want to do. And isn't that exactly what the left is arguing for?
It is, or what they're allegedly arguing for. See, the left doesn't really care about the process or the means or the constitutional system. They only care about the outcomes. There's not the same reverence for, you know, these constitutional norms in democracy. It's a good talking point for them. When they're very excited over the January 6th committee, they'll like to say things like democracy is in danger. But then in this abortion instance, when presented with a democratic opportunity to address the situation, they say, no, we don't like democracy anymore. We want, you know, winner takes all, one size fits all rule. And that has to be what we want or else we're going to riot in the streets. So that's not a pro-democracy view by them. And it's certainly not a principled one.
Mike, when you say that traditional American values are part of what you fight for every single day, does that include the thought and intent of our founding fathers?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's, you know, again, going back to what makes America great, it's that we would live under this constitutional system in which, you know, embedded into it is the equality of all and equal rights and a reserved federal government. And so that's what we fight for. That's the way to preserve the constitutional order and not just live by executive fiat. That's what we, you know, back in 1776 declared independence from. And so we fight for that constitutional system to be maintained because we think that's also not only a genius system that was created and one worth defending, but also because that is the most conducive to protecting traditional American values and the American way of life. We are freedom-loving people, by and large, a God-fearing people, and it's getting the government out of the way that preserves this system of behaviors that is most conducive to, I think, the best societal organization and the way for people to live in accordance with their beliefs, free of, you know, the government in the way.
We're with Mike Halley, the Senior Advisor for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to go ahead and go all the way through about 120, 121 with Mike. then take a break for the second half of the program. Mike's got so much to say about what's happening from a conservative perspective. Mike, where are we in terms of national defense today in America?
Well, we're in a tough spot. Frankly, you know, God bless our troops who are really the what keep us safe, but it's the bureaucrats at the top and the elected politicians that are really putting us in a dangerous spot. So what's happening in Ukraine and a very encouraged Vladimir Putin, who is willing to take such make such a move, is totally a response to the fact that we have a very weak president right now in Joe Biden. A move like Putin made is not made when a guy like Trump is in charge. Putin knew he could get away with it, and so that's why he did it. After Biden's just disastrous, embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan, the world took notice. They knew America was taking a step back and weak. And so they also know this is an administration that's highest values are not a dominant United States military. They are using the military to achieve liberal ends. That's why you see the priorities of our armed services being things like critical race theory and pushing the envelope on transgender issues. It is not the case that right now the political leadership's highest priorities are national security. It's using the military as an incubator for leftism.
Mike, we've got a border with New Mexico and Mexico that is about as porous as a picket fence. People just flowing through into our border, and it really is a tremendous crisis. They've had some success, though, I guess, in Texas and Arizona with stopping the flow.
Yeah, they have, and the states really are last line of defense. What's happened with the Biden administration is they systematically and purposely removed all sort of border controls, and they did so because they don't have a problem with illegal immigration. They like it because they think it benefits them politically. They think the demographic changes to the country and the growth of dependency on government by new arrivals who need government assistance makes it a more conducive environment for the left to politically rule. So in this void that's been created, states have kind of, you know, been forced to step up their efforts a little bit. It's still not enough, but we're entering into an interesting period. You see in Texas, Governor Abbott has basically authorized the Texas National Guard to start picking up illegal aliens. And so I think you'll see increased activity at the state level because this is unsustainable. This is a existential threat to those border states. They're getting hit the hardest. Now, it hits all of America pretty dang hard, but it definitely hits the border states the hardest. And so for them, there's not an option. They have their leaders are honor-bound, duty-bound to protect their people. And so they're going to have to do everything it takes to step up where the Biden administration has personally opened the floodgates.
We've talked about free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom, traditional American values, and strong national defense today. Mike, what can our listeners, how can they gain more information by going to heritage.org? Do you have comprehensive articles on all of these topics?
Yes, sir, we certainly do. Anything under the sun. It's an easy to navigate website, and you'll pick what you're interested in, and you'll be able to find quite a bit right off the break. And also check out our affiliated website Daily Signal. That's a daily, you know, online news outlet. They have some great stuff on there if you want some more commentary on current events.
And Mike, you also are supported by donations. How can our listeners help?
Well, if you like what you're seeing and you want to get in the fight, we would love for you to jump aboard. And you can find that information on heritage.org. It's easy to navigate in the about section, and we would love for you to become a member. We have about 500,000 across the country. And it is really a joint movement of like-minded patriots. And, we count on the support to be able to do what we're doing. I think we're getting results. It is an investment well spent for the future of this country. So I encourage all of your listeners, if they like what they see, jump on the team. We'd love to have you.
Mike Howell, Senior Advisor for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, thank you for spending all the time you have with us today. It's always a blessing to talk with you.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a good one.